Blog Talk Radio.
Radio with your hosts Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Mikey, can you hear me, Mikey? Over.
Over and out, my brother. What's going on?
All right, I want you to see if you can identify this sound.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul.
Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash.
The crow flies straight. Perfect line. Gotta look this
way. I cannot.
Mike, do you know where that's from?
No, I do not. I thought it was Johnny Cash.
Ah, that is the Sons of Anarchy show, man. The Sons of Anarchy show that everybody's been raving about. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Week 15 edition of Red vs. Blue, brought to you by your friends in the box at fftoolbox.com. Winners of the 2012 Most Accurate Draft Rankings, awarded by Fantasy Pros, over 100 of the biggest websites in the world participated, and your friends here at FF Toolbox came out on top. I'm your host, Scott Atkins, Team Legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football, and joined, as always, by the Big Blue co-host and most recently Roto Bowl League dominator, Michael Trent. Mikey, it's week 15. The Chargers just beat the Broncos. I'm going to ask you, the Broncos are obviously beatable, but right now, do you think they're the team to make the Super Bowl in the AFC?
Wow, very good question. I still think they are, but they're going to have to now go through New England. It's going to be a tough situation for Denver. Yes, absolutely. New England is going to be the team that they're going to have to go through in the AFC. The NFC is beast. NFC is beast mode. The AFC, I see Cincinnati being a player in this game. But let's face it, when it boils right down to it, the hoodie in New England, they're going to have something to say about Denver and what's going to happen. Last night did not totally surprise me, Scott, because this team has been sitting on a goose egg for a couple weeks now. And John Fox, he even admitted it. So, they've got a lot of work to do, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what shakes out with the AFC, but New England looks like the favorite for me to be that number one seed.
347-324-5404 is the number if you'd like to call Scott and Mike or ask us any question. Any who do I start, we'll take it on the air. You can participate in the chat room. The crew here at Red vs. Blue, some of the best minds in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. apologize for the chat room problems that we've been having. Blog Talk's up to their old tricks, sending out that the show starts at 8 p.m. They've been doing this the last couple of weeks. Our show started at 9 p.m. Eastern for I don't know how long, Mike. It's been forever we've been on at 9, but Blog Talk continually sends out the invites at 8 and the chat room problems that we're having. People are getting into the chat room now, though. Welcome you guys to Red vs. Blue. If you'd like to email us, the Red versus Blue inbox, redblueradio@gmail.com. You can tweet us at redblueradio or FF Toolbox on Sunday morning. All of our guys in the pros will be on Twitter taking your last minute. Who do I start? In tonight's Red versus Blue poll question, Mikey, rank these teams for the best shot of beating the Seahawks at home in the playoffs, the Niners, the Panthers, or the Lions. You got to rank those teams for the but wait a minute, that's not the poll question. Is that the poll question? Where's my my producer here? Hold on, let's see. Let's find out. Let's get the let's get the producer.
Niners, Panthers, or Lions.
Wait a minute, it's not the Niners. It's the Eagles, the Panthers. Although I knew something was wrong. The Eagles, Panthers, or the Lions. Rank these teams for the best shot of upsetting the Seahawks at home in the playoffs. The Eagles, Panthers, or the Lions, and you can rank them accordingly. Mike, what do you think of that poll question?
Yeah, that's really good because the Eagles, they run their own, they kind of beat to their own drum, so to speak, but they can still be rattled big time. But Nick Foles has done so well. Cam Newton, can he be rattled? Absolutely. I know the Carolina has done such a great job there, winning 8 out of the last 9. The Lions, man, this is a team that is just they're emerging big time. But out of this, I would give Carolina number 1, Philly 2, and Detroit 3.
Yeah, we're gonna look. I'm gonna take a quick peek here in the Facebook page where people have been talking about this. Scott Bonder thinks it's Lions, Panthers, and Eagles. Got a couple of likes on that. Lions, Panthers, and Eagles. A lot of love for the Lions right now. Eagles, Lions, Panthers. Lions, Eagles, Panthers. Panthers, Eagles, Lions. Bears,
that's
Eagles,
me.
Lions by Brian Preston. Robert Vince,
so
Lions, Panthers, Eagles. John Miller, Eagles, 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 bleed green. Sawyer, Paul Baird, Lions, Eagles, Panthers. Yeah, Mike, it's all, you know, I can make a case. You can make a case for all three of those teams with a chance to beat the Seahawks, because it's going to be very tough. There's IPS Driver in the chat room. Henry Muto, get paddled, open field ahead, and Paul Thierry, that's keep pounding in the Dynasty Football World Championship. Welcome, Paul, to Red versus Blue. He's the leader of the Dynasty Football World Championship right now as we stand, Mike. Yeah, he had Demarius and Peyton Manning going last night. I remember checking out his team. You got to be a little disappointed about Demarius, Paul, but Peyton still got you 20. You can't always ask for 30 from your QB every single week. But Mikey, a lot of teams got to the championship and to the playoffs with those Broncos. And let's face it, they had a down night. It finally happened.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it was kind of a weird type of game, but the old injury bug guy finally showed up, Ryan Matthews. You know, who would have expected that he would just continue to pound and pound and pound and get the yardage and eventually a touchdown that he got. But I tell you what, you know, this Phillip Rivers and this offense, they're kind of resilient. And if you're a Denver owner, as far as Peyton and that whole receiving crew, you got to be a little concerned about what's going on right now, wouldn't you think, Scott?
You could get 15-1 on Andre Caldwell scoring the first touchdown last night, and very few people had Andre Caldwell getting the 2 touchdowns in the start. You know, everybody was kind of assuming that it was going to Jacob Tammy, but the thing is, look, I can understand last week the emergency situation. Peyton knows Tammy, so he leans on Tammy. But you couldn't go into this week with a full preparation. It wasn't even a full week, but it was a short week of preparation, having that much time to figure out what you're going to do. They use the slot receiver, and that's Andre Caldwell. So Indiana Pacers are up by 4 over Charlotte in a good game, 2:30 to go.
And that George is a player.
Hey, Lance Stephenson there too. He spins, he drives inside, he lays it in, he's fouled on the shot. Indiana Pacers are up with a couple of minutes to go, 96-92. So the Pacers are still the best
team
in the league right now.
Yeah, and when are you going to invite me up to a Pacers game?
We'll have to do that, man. Yeah, you should have came up for that Heat game on Monday night. But, yeah, poll question. We will be answering those. We will be taking those poll questions all night long. Which team do you think has the best shot of upsetting the Seahawks at home in the playoffs, the Eagles, the Panthers, or the Lions? The answers are all over the board. Mikey, let's get right into it. Again, that's the poll question. But we're going to get into the Week 15 action. Before I do, by the way, just a recap on the main event championship coming into the week. Kind of a monumental performance by Chad Schroeder in both the main event and the Roto Bowl. He was leading it all. And I know you called me this week and you said, what the heck does this guy do? You know, what is he doing that's so special? Well, you know, I think that's something that's reserved for the high-stakes pros. But we are trying to get and dip into their minds a little bit through this show, through the FF Toolbox website, and through this game that we love. We're getting in trying to figure these pros out, these guys and gals that are always near the top. They do a little something different than the average Joe does. It's a little bit about commitment, probably a lot about commitment, and dedication to the hobby. We've talked about that in the past. What's the biggest difference between your home leagues and these competitive leagues? Dedication has a lot to do with it. Never taking a week off, never taking time off from waivers, making sure that that's a big part of the game and studying up in the draft.
Right.
But there's some other tips and tricks that we're going to learn from these high-stakes pros as we continue to expand our presence on FF Toolbox, which we're real happy to do. And we rolled it out this year. It's our first attempt, the preseason pro that we rolled out. We got it out right in time before the season started, and we did have some people take advantage of that. But we will continue to build and expand on that, Mike, because I want people to figure out what they do. I mean, there's little things, Mike, that, you know, you might not do in a draft that these guys do. For example, I was talking to a pro, and they said, look, when I'm in a live draft online from home, I've got my draft board up on one screen. I've got my draft list down on the table on another. And while I'm on the clock and I'm 15, 20 picks away, I'm looking and predicting the couple of guys that I'm going to pick between. And, you know, in the preseason, there's things changing all the time. They're Googling news, relevant recent news items from training camp and from the fan base, trying to understand what's the going trends right now of this player, player A or player B. Who's winning the camp battle, this player or that player? I mean, it was always James Jones or Jordy Nelson. Nobody kind of knew it, you know, a couple years ago. And then that kind of became, you know, kind of came into focus, you know, during the season. But in the preseason, you're trying to get any edge you can to make the most smartest pick you can. Now, Mikey, you dominated your Roto Bowl. What did you do this year? What have you done that you may not have been doing a couple years ago?
Well, what I did this year in the Roto Bowl, so to speak, was I went straight to wide receivers because I know it's a passing league. It's a passing league now. And so it was pretty much drafting, getting a couple of cheap running backs right away and a tight end like Jimmy Graham, which helps. And then just loading up on wide receivers. So, you know, I just went ahead and went wide receivers. It's a type of league. The league has changed so much. When I look at the names on the main event championship leaderboard for the FFWC, for instance, you know, Glenn Lowry, I mean, he is he's badass. Let's face it. David Hughes has a, you know, he's got a couple of teams up there, and Chad and Mike Santos. But there's some new and fresh names there, like Jeff Hillings and things like that. But, you know, what I did basically, Scott, was I just wanted to grab a solid tight end, a couple of what I would think would be solid running backs, and then I just went wide receiver throughout.
Yeah, you got more than a solid tight end. You got Jimmy Graham, the best in the game, man. That definitely makes a difference, right? That's your tight end. So
yes,
he has been a difference maker for a lot of teams. Okay, let's get into. By the way, congratulations to Chad for his success in the main event and Roto Bowl. Paul Fioret from the Dynasty Football World Championship, he's leading and also in the chat room tonight. So good luck, fellas. We've got 2 weeks to go. And this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We're going to figure out we can't leave points on the bench. That's the biggest issue we have. We go to the Bears and the Browns. The controversy all this week, Mike, was whether or not it was Josh McCown or Jay Cutler, and in comes Jay Cutler. Mike, the stats were no lie. Josh McCown was the most efficient fantasy quarterback since he's been starting. Even above Peyton Manning, he's been just that good. He's been very, very efficient, and he's had some good weapons to utilize with Alshon and Marshall and then Forte in the backfield. It should have been McCown, but they went to Jay Cutler. Do you agree with the decision of Trestman?
No, I do not. I mean, this is a team that, first off, they need to make the playoffs. And in order for them to do that, you always have to go by the hot hand. The hot hand is McCown right now. However, I will say this. Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett, they benefited from Cutler as well. So, you know, I don't mean to be riding the fence, but this is a tough situation, a tough call. But, I go back to what I've said years ago. Systems are systems. And if Jay Cutler is able to do the system, then he'll do it just as well as McCown has done.
If you're Joe Hayden this week, since that's the big matchup, it is the Browns. Joe Hayden has actually gotten burned the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He's allowed the opposing number one receiver to score in each of those games. And it's been the Alshon Jeffrey for the most part. To having the lead over Brandon Marshall. But with Jay Cutler back, we know about the chemistry with Marshall. First of all, who do you think that Joe Hayden lines up on? Do you think he's going to follow either one of these guys? Do you think he lines up against Jeffrey or Marshall?
I think he follows both. I think he starts out on Marshall, to be honest with you, Scott. He'll start out on Marshall, and I think the run will determine everything. If Forte can get off the line, and if the line can give him some kind of something, then that's going to determine where Jay goes with the ball.
This could be, if Hayden does decide to match up on Marshall, it is possible that Jeffrey has the bigger day. Look, the secondary receivers have dominated the Browns all year because of Joe Hayden on one side. The Browns have given up a receiver score in 7 straight games with a grand total of 11, and that's the secondary wide receivers. Now, we know also about Martellus Bennett. He's been a very good tight end this year. The Browns have allowed 8 tight end touchdowns in the last 8 games, so that this is very positive for him. We know about Matt Forte now. The DraftKings segment that we're doing, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire segment that we're going to do, on the Browns side of the ball, we're looking at a running back, Chris Obanaya. Chris Obanaya actually is getting some work, done very well against Chicago, have 150-plus yards in 4 straight games. 4 total scores in those games, averaging 26 fantasy points per game, Mike. So this is a very good matchup for the backfield, even if things get a little out of hand. The running backs continue to do well against the Chicago Bears. You also have the hottest wide receiver in the league in Josh Gordon. Mike, I was watching a Dynasty League startup draft, right? And we're getting ready to do a mock startup draft if you want to be a part of that. It's going to be fun. We're just going to do it on the message board or something like that, just have some fun with it. I want to see where these guys are going. You know where Josh Gordon went in the startup Dynasty draft? He went with the 2nd pick overall, Mike. The 2nd pick. What do you think about Josh Gordon this week? He should have a big day. It's hard to bet against Josh Gordon if you're playing daily fantasy games. Even with his salary as expensive as it is, it's hard to bet against Josh Gordon. He's had a 75-yard play. I think the total is 4 games in a row. That's just unheard of, Mike. It's unheard of for a wide receiver to do what he's doing. And his salary, let me just tell you his salary, $9,500. It's up there with the big dog. It's up there higher than Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, he really puts up serious numbers, Scott. I mean, it's been crazy watching the numbers he's been putting up just over and over, week in, week out, for the last 3-4 weeks. And I don't think it's going to stop. The guy's good. And just imagine if he was in a really efficient offensive system. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, the guys throwing to him are good. they're NFL caliber, but, I mean, they're not great. I mean, just can you imagine if you had a Brady or a Breeze throwing to this guy? I mean, goodness gracious, it's out of this world. But, no, I think Josh Gordon's going to have a really good game against Chicago. I'm kind of questioning the running game against Chicago, because I really think Chicago might shut down the running game just a little bit. But other than that, I mean, Josh Gordon's going to do what he can do.
Jordan Cameron caught all 9 of his targets for 120 and a touchdown. Jason Campbell loves him some Jordan Cameron, and he has to be in your lineup this week. Chicago gives up 70 yards a game to tight ends, third most in the NFL, Mike, third most. So you got to have Jordan Cameron back in your lineup this week. He's very solid. It's glad to see that Jordan Cameron is back for fantasy teams. But Obanaya, in your DraftKings lineup, I think he's one of those guys, again, the most valuable per point. When you use the AskMax 1.0 based on FF Toolbox projections, and look, very modest projections for Obanaya, you're getting him for $3, for $3,000, the cheapest salary you can get on a running back. Chris Obanaya, $285 per fantasy point. You got to like Chris Obanaya in your lineup. He'll be a very popular pick this week.
Scott, real quick, I saw that on the FF Toolbox, and I read through the thread and everything about AskMax. Can you spend just a couple of minutes talking about what's that all about?
Sure, yeah. AskMax is the newest application that has been developed by our friends at the Perduco Group. It's our advanced analytics team here at FF Toolbox. And, look, basically what we wanted to build here was an application that can help you maximize your profits when you're playing the daily games, hence the words in the name, AskMax. It's there to maximize your lineup and your points, and at the same time maximize your profits. Now, what it does is something that human beings just can't do in your own mind. There's millions and millions of different combinations based on the salary cap implications. We offer this application free to all of the FF Toolbox listeners and viewers as beta testers. Just go on to the message board, say, hey, right, Scott, I want to be an AskMax beta tester. We'll include you. We'll send you the download. You can check it out. It's got a lineup creator. It's got real-time projections, fully customizable. It's got a blacklist. It's got a My Guys feature. It's got a value KPI feature and a save max to save your lineup so you can come back and look at them down the road. Really cool. I think it's revolutionary for the daily games industry. You need tools to help you win. And they're not telling you exactly who to put in your lineup, but they're basically giving you the ability to customize your projections, and it will do the crunching and say, here, okay, if these projections are what you really think, this is the lineup you should use. It will take a while. It runs and runs and runs, and it constantly finds you a better algorithm because it's crunching through millions and millions of possible combinations. Then it'll eventually stop, and it'll say, okay, this is your lineup. So you can go in, and then you can blacklist some guys. You can add some new guys. It's a lot of fun. If you want to be a beta tester, go to the Toolbox message boards. Tell me you want to beta test it, and I will send you the link. Only thing we ask for in return is your feedback, and that will help us build a very fantastic tool.
That was pretty cool, Scott, because I saw just immediately about 6, 8, 10, then again 12 different people that just sat there and says, I want to test, to test out the beta test. And, that's pretty awesome. You know, it just expands the horizon of what's going on in fantasy football, and that's pretty awesome.
Yep. Let's get to it. Bills at the Jaguars Sunday at 1 o'clock. I guess the big story here is Jordan Todman very likely gets to start. Maurice Jones-Drew is doubtful with the injury. You can't count on Maurice Jones-Drew against the Bills. You have to like this matchup, Mike. The Bills are at the very bottom of the league in rushing defense. He would be the lead back. Backs have more than 110 yards rushing with a touchdown in each of the last 4 games against the Bills, Mike. You have to like Jordan Todman, and I don't even care if you've ever seen him play. He can receive the ball. He can catch the ball. He's doing. I don't know about his blocking skills. I guess that would be the one thing that's going to hold him back. But look, Chad Henne's going to have to chuck a little bit, but you want to keep the game honest and you want to keep the running back scoring. Jacksonville's hot right now. They're a hot team.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as a lot of bad teams, they're a pretty hot little team right now. I would not be surprised to see the Jags win this game and win it going away.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either, Scott. Jacksonville, systems are systems. They're working toward the future. Their O-line is doing some things that has helped NJD out in the past few games. And, you know, it's going to help this kid out as well. So it wouldn't surprise me. And now, I don't know if Jacksonville is going to blow them away, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Jacksonville win. I mean, not at all.
Well, the E.J. Manuel situation last week, they said there were too many plays in the playbook and they were going to condense the plays. Now, that's the opposite of what you should be saying at this time of the year. You should be expanding the book for the rookie. It's just kind of going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So, not a good sign here. Again, the Bills, not good against covering anybody over the last few weeks here. And this should be a good game for them. Spiller and Jackson, you can't trust either one of these guys at this point. You definitely can't trust Spiller. I've been telling everybody's been having these who-do-I starts with C.J. Spiller, and I'm like, I'm not going to recommend C.J. Spiller. I can't do that to you. He hasn't been there for you all year. He hasn't been getting the snaps. I want somebody that's on the field and is going to get you snaps. Yeah, can he bust a 60-yarder or an 80-yarder at any time? Yeah, he's still C.J. Spiller. He can still do that. But not when he's only getting looked. He only got 26 snaps last week. We're talking about a Patriots and Broncos team that an Eagles team that's getting 80 and 90 snaps. What'd you say?
I said we're talking about playoffs.
Playoffs.
What about you were going into a Jim Mora rant there.
Playoffs.
Playoffs. What about Stevie Johnson? What about his chances this weekend against Jacksonville? I think he's got a pretty good shot, Scott.
Well, yeah. Look, this is one of the bright spots on the team that they do that they can do. They can get the ball to Stevie Johnson, and that's what they're going to need to do. That's really the only thing that you can count on for that Bills squad. I can't tell you that they're going to get the ball to the running. And what the running backs are going to do. Jacksonville. Middle of the pack against wide receivers. I'll tell you, Buffalo's one of the worst. So I would have a lot of faith in Cecil Shorts this week. I probably have more faith in Cecil Shorts than I would Stevie Johnson, if you ask. But I'm going to put you to the test here, Mikey. The Bills,
huh?
Spiller, Fred Jackson, or neither in your lineup?
I would go with Spiller.
You would go with Spiller. Okay. I would go with Fred Jackson. I would go with Fred Jackson over Spiller. He's been the more consistent fantasy option. And yes, I know. Again, he can bust the big one. But even the week that Spiller busted the big one, Fred Jackson outscored him. He had 23 points too. So I would still count on Fred Jackson, who has in the last 4 weeks outscored C.J. Spiller. There's been 1 week that C.J. Spiller outscored Fred Jackson all year. Why am I going to tell you to start C.J. Spiller if that's the case? I'm not. So let's move on. We've got the next game on the docket here. Seahawks at the Giants, Mike. Wow. This game sets up for the Seahawks wide receivers actually to do okay in this game. And the Giants, again, this is one of the bad, bad years for Eli Manning. You can't trust anybody. The drought, we've got the board, the chalkboard up here in the room in the office, Hakeem Nicks. That's 16 straight games. He has not scored a touchdown, and he's been below 6 fantasy points in 7 of his last 10, Mike. Victor Cruz hasn't scored in 9 straight games
exactly.
And has just 1 double-digit game during that run. So, Mike, Victor Cruz against Sherman, you have to bench Victor Cruz.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been benching Victor Cruz for a long time. You've been staying with him.
Good for you.
You've been staying with him. I cannot start Victor Cruz. I cannot start anybody on this New York Giants defense. Offense. I'm sorry. Especially against Seattle's defense. I know this game's at home. It's in the Meadowlands. But I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. The only bright shining moment might be the running game.
Get paddled in the chat room. Playoff flex PPR. He's starting Gio over Cruz. Agree. I agree. Now, again, look, I don't want to overreact here. Victor Cruz, let's just go back to his weeks. 10.8, this is dating back to week 6. 10.8, 10, 15.6, then he had the bye. 16, 4, 14. It's almost like an every other kind of week thing. 9 last week. So, I mean, he's still Victor Cruz. He's very hard to cover, even in the short game. Eli should get him some work. I would predict him to be somewhere around 10 to 12 points, but Gio gives you 15 to 20, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the 15
especially
to 20 range for
Pittsburgh.
Gio. 10
Gio's
to
going to
get
Pittsburgh. Yeah.
For Cruz. Yeah.
Yeah. Gio's going
to
get Pittsburgh.
The one question I haven't been able to really answer very well is these Andre Brown questions. I mean, look, he's going to get a lot of work. But he's been involved in some very difficult who do I starts, and I'm just trying to give you guys a point number that I think he can produce in this game. Seattle, surprisingly, I mean, just don't go blindly thinking that Seattle is just a great defensive team against the run. Okay, they have given up some yards this year. They have given up a lot of receptions to running backs. 76 receptions to running backs. What does that tell you? The quarterback doesn't have a lot of time to get it the ball out to receivers. He's dumping it. What else does it tell you? I don't know. Somebody else tell me in the chat room. What does that say? 76 receptions to running backs and 1,200 yards. So there is opportunity here for the running backs to get involved. But I wouldn't expect a 20-point day. Andre Brown had his goal line touchdown last week robbed, and he still posted close to 100 yards. He's got at least 90 or a touchdown in all 5 games this year. The fact is Novak has scored on Seattle in 6 straight games. Gore did run for 110 against him. When he broke that big one, I was pretty proud of Gore for that run, but that was about it. So would you start Andre Brown knowing that Novak has scored on Seattle in 6 straight games? I think he's pretty good, but I don't know if he's going to get in the end zone.
Yeah, you know what, Scott? I don't think I could start Andre Brown, but I mean, like you said, I mean, the stats are pretty solid. I mean, you know, when he's around the red zone, he's good, he's solid, and the over and under is 45.5, so that means a lot of points are going to be scored. But, no, I'm sorry,
it's
the over and under is 41.5.
It's at home.
So,
I think even though it's against Seattle, it's at home. I think I would start Andre Brown. If I'm Tom Coughlin, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to get this season over with. And you know how you do that?
Right.
You make this game as quick and short as possible. You run the ball. You know what I'm saying? You just want to get this season over with if you're Tom Coughlin and you're at home. You'd like to get the win, but more importantly, you just want to get the hell out of here. I think I'd get Brown in there.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think I'd start him. But I don't know. Never know.
Which wide receiver do you like this week? Seattle, it seems like one of the wide receivers could have a big day. Is it Golden Tate? Is it Doug Baldwin? Is it Javon Kearse? I mean, it's a little difficult to understand which one he's going to go to. All the snaps are very even across the board. Doug Baldwin leading the team in snaps. 91% of the plays he's out there. Then Golden Tate at 85% and Kearse at 75%. No Percy Harvin this week, so you can't get excited about that. Zach Miller is the tight end, even though the Dynasty guys and the Dynasty freaks are talking about Luke Wilson. I hear you guys, but just calm down, settle down a little bit till Zach Miller's turn. Niners at the Buccaneers. Mike, we better get going because we're running out of time here. Niners at the Bucs. What do we really want to know? To me, it's who's going to be matched up on Darrell Revis. Is it Anquan Boldin or is it Michael Crabtree? Who's going to have the bigger day?
I think Michael Crabtree is going to have a big day. I mean, let's face it, last week was kind of like the last week of training camp, the last week of spring training, so to speak. I think Michael Crabtree is going to have a nice day, but let's face it, Anquan Boldin is going to be nice. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what Tampa Bay does against San Francisco. I see some of them wideouts being nice.
This is very difficult for me to understand. Boldin and Crabtree both do line up in the slot occasionally. The slot position has torched the Bucs. They've murdered them with a touchdown in 5 of the last 6. Wide receivers have at least 25 fantasy points in 5 of the last 6 against the Bucs. Crabtree did play a full slate of snaps last week, caught four of his eight targets. I'm thinking that Revis will match up against Bolden. That's my hunch. My hunch says he'll line up against Bolden. But then again, I think he'll also see a little bit of Crabtree, too. I don't think it's going to be all game. So I think both of these guys can get a little bit of work here. Mike Glennon, I was totally wrong about in the offs, and when he got the job, totally wrong. Multiple scores in six of the last nine. Got to be pretty valuable. He did get V-Jax back going. Rainey bounced back with 127 yards on that big run. After he had that big run, he didn't really do much after it. The Niners have allowed at least 75 yards rushing to backs in six straight games. Backs have rushed for a touchdown in three of the last five. So he does have a chance to be a starter. Just proceed with caution. And then Tim Wright. People have asked me about Tim Wright. Only one tight end is top 60 yards against the Niners this year. Don't use Tim Wright.
Yeah, I really think this game has a chance for Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon, I think, could have a big game, in my opinion, because they're going to be coming from behind. But, it's just Crabtree. This is Crabtree's coming out party, and this is for him in Tampa, and he's going to have a fun time doing it.
Oh, by the way, I would not start Frank Gore. Bucks have allowed only two touchdowns to running backs all year. They haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in five straight, or a group of backs to get 100 yards in three straight. They're only averaging 10 points a game in the last three. Tampa run defense is getting a little stingy under Schiano. Eagles at the Vikings, total shootout on the Eagles side of the ball. You start all your Eagles. The Vikings are pathetic. The Vikings are bad. They've allowed multiple touchdowns, seven straight games to quarterbacks. You got to get Nick Foles in here. It's going to be a big day city for them. Adrian Peterson, he says he's going to play, but maybe not. Kobe Gerhardt's got a strained hammy. He may not play. You're really getting down to the nothingness here with the running back.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter who is in there. If it's not Peterson or Gerhardt, you're not getting them in your lineup. Greg Jennings leads the team recently with 19 targets, but I like Cordarrelle Patterson as my upside flyer. He has a score in each of the last two, three of his last five. He's looking really good.
Well, see, Scott, I kind of disagree with you real quick in this game. I really love the fact if there's any way that Kobe Gerhardt is active and will play and Adrian Peterson does not, man, you got to plug in Kobe Gerhardt. I really believe that Kobe Gerhardt is going to have a big game against Philly.
Well, Mike, let me ask you. I thought like you did early on in the week when I wrote my Secret Stars article on Wednesday morning. I put Kobe Gerhardt in there as my Secret Star running back, right? I mean, he's very cheap on DraftKings. He's only $5,000. I said, how can your lineup not have Gerhardt? He seems like a lock for 10 to 15 fantasy points with 20-point upside if he scores. And you can look at the stats. He showed a lot of burst in that 41-yard carry. My only question since Wednesday morning, and things changed since then, he's very
yes. –
I mean, look, the guy's got to practice. He's got to get through a practice. And
exactly.
If you can't get through a practice, why would I think that you're going to get through a violent football game? Why would
exactly.
you be able to – even
I mean,
if they, even if you started, he might only get a couple carries. It's like he has not stepped – he has not stopped experiencing pain in his foot, right? Now, he can say he's going to – or this hamstring. Peterson's hurt too, but Gerhardt, he's questionable. I just can't light participant on Friday. I'm not somebody that. It's almost like the Reggie Bush deal. Even if Reggie starts the game, and I know we're jumping ahead to the Monday game, but even if he starts, how long is he going to last? I'm not feeling good about this whole situation.
Yeah, I'm sitting here between Rashard Mendenhall or Kobe Gerhardt, so I guess I got to go ahead and start Rashard Mendenhall again. But, I was just thinking, if this situation lines out, if Kobe Gerhardt is, if he's right and good to go, then I'm going with him. But we just got to figure out the game time decision. But hammies, I don't like hammies. Nobody likes hammies.
No. The hammy lingers. Ben Tate was limited in Wednesday's practice. Somebody's asking in the chat room. That was the last word we've gotten on Ben Tate, so hopefully we can get something else going on him. Redskins at the Falcons. This is the Kirk Cousins game. He does get to start. it sounds like RG3 is benched for the year. I've heard rumors that Shanahan wants to be fired, and that's, you know, maybe there's only 32 head coaches in the NFL, right? And he wants to be out of there. So you've got the Redskins. One of the guys, the high-stakes guys, was telling me the other day, he said, look, this sets up for a good opportunity for these other wide receivers to produce. If you are a Washington Redskin backup quarterback, who are you practicing with? If you're Kirk Cousins, you're practicing with the backup wide receivers, right? So this gives you an opportunity to take a deeper look at somebody like an Aldrick Robinson or something. You know, now, again, I'm not telling you to start him, but I'm saying at the end of the game, what you might see is you might see him really getting something going with, like, the Aldrick Robinsons, the Josh Morgan, some of the guys that weren't on the, you know, like the Pierre Garçon. So I want to be very careful with Pierre Garçon and Kirk Cousins. I don't know if there's going to be chemistry there. Hopefully there is. Hopefully you can still trust Garçon. You got to put him in your lineup. He's Pierre Garçon. You got to get him in there. Alfred Morris, a lot of people have asked us about Alfred Morris. They have allowed a touchdown and more than 20 fantasy points in 5 of the last 7 games. That means against Washington, it's a dream matchup for them. Matt Ryan on that side of the ball, big, big game for Matt Ryan coming. Roddy White, big game for him coming. You got to like this for both these guys. I even like it for Harry Douglas, Tony Gonzalez. I think it's a Matt Ryan good game. If you're playing DraftKings, Matt Ryan is a very cheap quarterback this week and the most valuable quarterback on the board next to Cam Newton. So if you want to spend $7,500 at DraftKings, put Matt Ryan in your lineup. If you can spend a little bit more, $7,900 will get you Cam Newton against the Jets, who haven't stopped anybody, either of those guys. But, Mike, there's a lot of fantasy points to go around in this game.
Scott, bottom line is this is the second most over and under game on the Vegas board. So that tells me that there's going to be points scored, just like you said. Mm-hmm. There's going to be there's points all over the place. Now, it's trying to figure out which one and which player is going to do it. But there's going to be points scored all over the place in this game. And, you know, I don't know who's going to be. I really think Alfred Morris is going to be a huge factor. Not necessarily Kirk Cousins, but, you know, I think Alfred Morris and I expect Atlanta and their offense to explode. I mean, Atlanta's a 7-point favorite with this 49.5-point spread. So
I'm a little worried about Alf. He's only got 37 carries in his last 3 games combined, Mike. It's a little scary. But Kirk Cousins, I'm not worried about at all. Every quarterback not named Matt Flynn has produced multiple touchdowns against those same Falcons in 2013. So very good for Kirk Cousins' debut this week. Patriots at the Dolphins, Mikey. I went into this week saying that Shane Vereen is the guy that's going to be on the million-dollar lineups. He's going to be on the World Championship lineup, the FFPC, the NFFC. He's going to be on the championship lineup. He's the guy. I think he'll play an even bigger role now that the Gronkowski's out. He was targeted 17 times in Week 14 and caught 12 of them. Okay? He's got a touchdown in each of the last 2 games. He's a must-start. Everybody's loving the Shane Vereen. The question now is, with Gronk out, what does Tom Brady do? Right? Here's how I see it. You've got Amendola. You've got Edelman. You've got this situation with the injury to Kenbrell Tompkins. You got Dobson, who finally showed up in practice, but I'm not counting on him yet. Kenbrell Tompkins makes his return to Miami, makes his return to friends and family in the stands. He has been practicing. I'm going to bet that he plays. If he plays, Mike, he plays the X position on the field. He will start, and he'll play just about every play on the field. Now, I don't know how healthy he's going to be when he's running routes out there, but very likely he's going to get a lot of work. So he's my sneaky sleeper guy for the week. I also like Amendola. He's really coming on as far as number of snaps. He hasn't turned it into performance yet. He hasn't reached 55 yards in a game since week 9. He's 55 in only 2 games this year. So I'm not really ready to trust him. But that's I don't think Tom Brady falls apart. I think the people are predicting his demise way too early. They're going back to the days where, remember when he didn't have Gronk? He didn't have Vereen then either, okay? He didn't have Amendola then either. He didn't have his weapons. That's why he was looking bad. He's got Vereen back. He's got Amendola back. This team's going to be okay.
We got 2 scenarios we're looking at, Scott, in this game. This is the biggest game of the weekend, in my opinion. New England, if they win and continue to win out, they got the number one seed. They're at home throughout the playoffs, which means a lot if they have to face Denver. But a big thing, Miami, they're still fighting to make the playoffs. Now, get this. New England's only a one-point favorite in this game.
Wow. Well,
It's in Miami. Now, here's another thing. Tom Brady, his arm, let's face it, he's on a pitch count, so to speak. He's on a pitch count. So they're watching how many throws he's
made. Where are you getting this?
Man, I get all kinds of information. Tom Brady is on a pitch count. Tom Brady is on a pitch count.
We're going to have to talk about this after the show. I'm going to start getting emails about Tom Brady because Mike said that Brady's on a pitch
He's on a pitch count. I'm not going to bench him, but I'm just saying he's on a pitch count. I would not start Tom Brady in this game. Miami's defense is good. They're at home. Watch them.
Okay. Ryan Tannehill has been heating up. He's been on fire, actually. 25-plus fantasy points in each of his last two games. He got 29 last week. He has at least 19 in four of his last five. New England just allowed 391 to Campbell last week in three scores. So five of the last six quarterbacks to face the pass have thrown for multiple passing touchdowns. Three of the last five have 32-plus points. Big day for Ryan Tannehill coming up. He's just been that hot. Hartline scored in each of the last two games. Wallace matched up last week against his former friends there in Pittsburgh. And now it's Aqib Talib matching up with Wallace. So you got to like this for Brian Hartline and Charles Clay. Charles Clay has been the man. Remember the Graham or the Gronk comparisons early in the year? Everybody kind of cooled off of him. And the Dynasty fans, I started to see him get traded a little bit. Look, if you got Charles Clay in Dynasty, you're gonna be set. He's a weapon. Here's the game I wanted to get to: Texans at the Colts. Mike, living here in Indianapolis, we're all about some Derrick Rodgers, as his mama calls him. Apparently, it's Derrick. Everybody's been calling him Derrick. Derrick Rodgers looks fantastic. He's 6'3". He had some problems heading into the draft and in college. He got kicked off some teams. But look, apparently, people are close to the organization, they say he's the first at practice and the last to leave. And he looked good out there. He's running the routes that Darius Hayward-Bate was brought in to run, Mike. These crossing patterns over the middle and these long fades and these seams. That's what he's there to do. And if he can do those, right, and he can keep his head above water and keep, you know, from going the Josh Gordon round and the Justin Blackman round, the kid has an opportunity here to really be involved. Now, I like T.Y. Hilton this week, but LaVon Brazil's been banged up. And if LaVon Brazil's not in there, talking about Derrick and T.Y. having a nice day against the Texans this week, no matter how good the Texans have been.
Wow, very interesting, Scott. On the first line of my paper here, I've got Riley Cooper or T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I like T.Y. There's a lot of stats out there that you can look up that will show you the night and day comparison between outdoor and indoor T.Y. Hilton. Indoor T.Y. Hilton, much more effective than the outdoor. He hasn't been well. Schwartz is the only receiver to score on the Texans in the last three games. But Hilton leads the team in snaps. I would still put Hilton in there. Derrick led the team in targets, caught six of them. Very talented kid, and you got to keep an eye on him in your dynasty leagues. He's somebody that should be rostered.
Yeah, Scott, you were on Sirius XM, and I heard part of that show talking about Derrick and Derrick or whatever. But this kid's a serious player, man. I mean,
you've upgraded to the Sirius XM world. They got satellite radio down there in Brandenburg, Kentucky.
No, I put aluminum foil on it, and then I put a progressive can of chicken soup and stuff.
Wow.
It was awesome stuff, man. It was good stuff. And, this kid's going to be a great player. Can he steal some of T.Y. this week? I'm not sure. But
Andre Johnson, must start. He's a dominant player. I think you have to have him in your DraftKings lineup just because I think he's going to have a very big day. Ben Tate Backs have at least 100 yards rushing in three straight and five of the last six. Colts have given up a rushing touchdown, at least 96 yards rushing in five straight games to running backs. So, you know, as much as I don't like Ben Tate, I think you got to start him and get him in there. This whole Case Keenum, rest of the way guy, okay, he's looking okay. Garrett Graham has been very heavily involved. I think all these guys have got to be in your lineup this week.
Yeah.
There's no reason to bench
yeah.
them. And, I mean, if we start getting into the, okay, there's one on the, here's a couple in the chat room here. They're already talking about Rainey or Joik, man. Rainey or Joik Bell. That's a tough one. I like Bell at home. I think I like Bell at home. I think I like Joik Bell. Jets at the Panthers. We have 10 minutes to go and seven games to go, Mike. We're not going to get there. What do you like about Jets-Panthers? Anything? You start Cam Newton for sure. Steve Smith and LaFell and Greg Olsen should be in your lineup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think you can start anybody other than the Jets. This may be the first week of the season. Now that Ivory is not in your lineup and the Jets' defense pretty much is not in your lineup anymore, this is the first week that you're probably not starting any New York Jets, as pointed out by Boomerang Ben on the hangout. Chiefs at the Raiders. Let's roll right through this one, Mike. The biggest thing that I think you need to take away from this game is Rashad Jennings. If he's healthy, which it looks like he is, you have to remember the pre-injury Rashad Jennings was dominant. He was a starter that had to be in your lineup, and running backs have rushed for over 100 yards in four of the last five games against the Chiefs, okay? This is a game that Rashad Jennings should be in your lineup. Rod Streeter, I know there's Denarius Moore talk, but Rod Streeter had his best game of the year with 7 for 130 and a touchdown against the Jets.
Yuck.
No surprise. He has five-plus catches and 80-plus yards in three of the last four games, and I even went a little bit further, Mike. I saw he had 80 yards in four of the last six. Streeter's actually becoming a defendable option with Matt McGloin.
Yeah, this game, Streeter, he's been solid all year long, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him catch one for, you know, I see him getting a touchdown, I say 5 for 80, and but the over-under is 41.5. It's a very low number. Kansas City is a 4.5-point favorite. This Kansas City defense is not bad at all. So,
all right.
I don't know.
Let's go. Dwayne Bowe scored in three of the last four. You got to get him in there. Marcel Reese seems like the best producer on the team and the most disliked by his own coaching staff because he never gets the opportunity. Saints at the Rams. You start all your Saints. You start Colston now. He's back. Him and Drew Brees obviously have something going. The backfield, this might be the week they get things turned around. Pierre Thomas has been held under 30 in each of his last two games. And Sproles has been doing terrible in his last 11. He only has more than 6 points in two of those last 11, so he has not been good at all. You can't trust either one of those guys yet, but I think it might be the game that's setting up for the – you know, maybe Stacy breaks a big run in the first half, but I think at the end of the day, the Saints are going to be too much for the Rams. And then in the second half, the Rams are going to be asked to throw to keep up with the Saints, and then the Saints defense is going to start teeing off on them. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Not much else I really want to do with the Rams this week.
No, exactly. I mean, you nailed it. I still say Jimmy Graham's going to be a definite target for Drew. Drew's going to have fun with
for
him.
Sure.
So
Yeah, for sure. Cardinals at Titans at 4:30, Mikey. Cardinals have been looking better. They've been looking better. Palmer's looked good. He's been hot. And he had the elbow injury, and he should have hit. Michael Floyd was open, and he threw it to him twice, and Floyd let it bounce off of his chest twice in a row at the end of the game. Floyd had a very bad game, and he is not himself. He only caught two of his five balls, disappointing 26 yards. He had been very hot. And this is a team Tennessee has not allowed – they had not allowed a receiver touchdown since week two. So, look, Fitzgerald and Palmer, that's not Denver. It's not Demaryius and Peyton out there. Tennessee is a very stiff defense here. I wouldn't go in expecting a big game from Fitzgerald or Floyd. I do like, you know, Chris Johnson and Fitzpatrick maybe to get a little something going here, maybe even Sean Green. It only takes a play or two for Chris Johnson to bust one to the house. So Fitzpatrick,
exactly right.
He's going to be one of the hotter quarterbacks down the stretch. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be a fantasy star. You heard it here these last couple of weeks. He had been below 20 points in each of his last two games, but I think Fitzpatrick's going to get things going for his fantasy owners. And you also have Delanie Walker. This is his best friend. And you've got a tight end that scores against the worst tight end defense we've seen in years in Arizona because of those blitzing linebackers. They're not coverage linebackers. They're blitzing linebackers, so Delanie Walker will have a big day. Mikey, Packers at the Cowboys, anything come to mind here?
First thing comes to mind is DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray has been impressive in the last couple games, and I really expect them to utilize him as much as they can against Green Bay. This is a go or go home type of game for Green Bay. Yep. Aaron Rodgers will not be there, so you're going to have to rely on Matt Flynn again. If you're Jordy Nelson owners, which I am, you got to hope that you know, it's going to open up for him, and it might, because Dallas defense is pretty weak. So
this is very weak, very, very bad.
Yeah, I expect a big game out of DeMarco Murray. I expect a big game out of Dez Bryant, and I also expect a big game out of Jordy Nelson.
Well, unless there is something more than meets the eye here with this injury, the Dez Bryant back injury, he could be the decoy that's out there, and that may be the only plausible explanation that I can understand why Tony Romo's not getting the ball to Dez Bryant. It's ticking me off, and I don't understand it. And I can only think that Dez is out there and he's injured because he hasn't been effective at all. Jordy, not been effective, of course. None of the wide receivers really have. Boykin's pretty much done. But, yeah, very bad defense for Dallas. The worst against the run, the worst against the pass. If the Packers can't get it going in this game, they might as well call it quits. Bengals at the Steelers. This is the game, Mike, we said it early in the season, that the Bengals, these are the types of games the Bengals have to win if they want to be taken seriously, because they're looking like crap if they're going to let this season fall apart. They're 7-6. They're trying to stay above water here and keep this division, but you've got the Ravens charging, trying to go and get this division, and it's at Pittsburgh. Who wins this game, Mike?
Oh, I think Cincinnati wins. They're going to use a running game, but The key here, Scott, is Andy Dalton has become a game manager. He's not become a thrower. He's become a game manager, and he's going to use A.J. Green whenever he needs to. Go ahead.
Okay, let me ask you. A.J. Green, we only have 3 minutes left in the program. In five career starts, just one game has he thrown for multiple touchdowns. Does he throw for multiple touchdowns in this game?
No. No, absolutely not. It's going to be A.J. Green. It might be G.O. It's going to be distributed amongst the masses.
Yeah. Well, you got to hope the stats lie. You got to hope that Giovanni Bernard has the opportunity. He has the opportunity to take one of the house at any time. Stats would say otherwise, that he doesn't have the opportunity. Le'Veon Bell, 88 yards or a touchdown in 8 straight games. That'll be tested this week. No running back has scored against the Bengals in 9 straight games.
Exactly.
So be looking out for that. Emmanuel.
Yep. That.
Emmanuel Sanders has scored in each of the last 3 games and has at least 5 catches in all 3. He is actually a very solid wide receiver 3 now.
Yeah. And, you know, that's where I was going with that Cincinnati defense. They're no joke. I mean, the Bengals, they love playing on the road too, so it's going to be a tough test for Pittsburgh this week.
Last minute, we finally got it in. The Ravens at the Lions on Monday night. I pray that the Reggie Bush owners get some kind of clarity on Sunday before the game, so you can make your lineup decisions. Because look, bottom line is this: I have him in a league. I don't trust him. And the bottom line is he can score you 25, but a lot of backs can score you 25. A lot of players can score you 25. And I'm just not going to trust that he gets in there and he plays the whole game. If I'm the Lions and I got Joyce Bell, if Bush gets strained or gets dinged up after a couple of carries, they're going to take him out. So I don't trust him. I trust all the other Lions. I pretty much trust all the other Ravens. Torrey Smith should have a big day. Dennis Pitta and Joe Flacco should have a decent day against the Lions. Mike, that's all the time we have, dude. Play the draft game, win $1 million.
If I'm a Calvin Johnson owner, I'm loving life.
We're out of time. See you later. Later,
this world, all alone. Gotta take your soul. you're on your own. The crow flies straight, a perfect line. Gotta look this life in the eye.
Listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.